Are you glad to be in church on this summer Sunday morning? Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see everybody. It's good to see some new faces with us today. We welcome you to Family Church. We're glad that you're here. We know you're not here by coincidence or by accident or something like that. You're here because God's got a plan for your life, and we want to tell you all about it. Of course, it's not our plan for you, and we encourage you, make sure it's not your plan for you. You know, seek His plan for you. Amen. And we want to get you connected to that through the Word of God. And we're just so honored that you're here. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We just welcome you. And the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here all the time. We love to be your church family. Church, isn't that true? Wouldn't you love to see these folks join themselves to our church family? We'd love to have you. I'd love to be your pastor if you're looking for one. And we'd love to just teach you the Word of God. Amen. We don't barge into your life. We don't tell you, you know, micromanage your life and tell you every little thing to do. We just preach the Word, and you can get to know the Lord. That's our goal here. You know, I don't call you during the week and make sure you're doing everything and this and that. No, no, no. Just we want you to have a relationship with the Lord, because your pastor doesn't lead you. Your church doesn't lead you. The Holy Spirit leads you. Amen. Praise God. We just want to get you connected to Him. Praise the Lord. And church, whose opportunity is it to make sure our visitors feel warm and welcome here today? That's ours. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting. So glad to have you. It's just an honor to have you here today. And real quickly, before we get into the Word of God, I just want to reiterate some things. Don't forget about our youth camp. It is a big deal. We are now a little under 2 months away until that youth camp. Our goal is to fund 100 kids for that youth camp. All right, so of course the kids, you know, that are in the church, feel free to get them signed up, grade 6 all the way up through grade 12. There's a $50 registration fee, and we're trying to make sure that that's the only fee that parents and families will have to pay. $50 for a youth camp, and that is up at Mission Meadows. It's all run by the leadership here at Family Church, and 4 or 5 days of them being at Mission Meadows, all the food, all the activities, and 2 services a day where they're going to be branded with God's presence. Get your kids signed up. If you have family, extended family, relatives, you know, they have kids, get them signed up. I mean, let's get everybody hooked up with this. And in the weeks to come, we're going to be raising the funds to fund that entire camp beyond that $50 registration fee. Because normally it would cost about $250 to $300 per student. Let's just make sure that we're doing everything we can right here in Chautauqua County to provide the next generation an opportunity to serve the Lord. Amen. And also, real quickly, guys, don't forget, the men's breakfast, the Father's Day breakfast, is this coming Saturday. You know, if you haven't signed up, please sign up. Guys, bring friends. You noticed on the picture, on the overhead picture we had, there was bacon and eggs, and that'll all really be there, all right? So come on out, 9:30 to 11:30. We'll have a great time this coming Saturday. Guys, don't miss it. We got Father's Day already. Like Pastor Brad said, half of the year is already gone. Isn't it just hard to imagine? Amen. It is. It's going to go quick. I think I'm still thinking in like 2023 or something. Remember when we were talking about entering the roaring 20s and how the decade was just getting started? That just seems like yesterday. Boy, the world has changed quite a bit since then, hasn't it? But you know what has not changed? The Word of God. God has not changed. God does not change His mind about His Word. You can always depend on His Word. Build your life upon it. Are you ready to build your life upon the Word of God here today? Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to John chapter 14. And today I'm going to call this message the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, those terms are synonymous. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is just that King James way of saying that. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to talk about God's power. How many of you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? well, we're going to kind of go back to square one. We're going to start building, on the scriptures, what it's like to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life, because you don't want to miss it. And over the last couple of months, I've been teaching messages about having the right heart before God, about humbling ourselves and making sure that we don't use our faith just to solve our problems. We're not using our faith just to seek relief in our life or just to seek comfort in our life or convenience in our life. We use our faith to please Him, to know Him, to obey God, even if it is during a tough time in your life, especially if it's a tough time in your life. We're not here just to, use our faith as a fire extinguisher to put all the fires out. We're here to use our faith so that we walk through the fire, staying faithful, and we come out on the other side without sacrificing what we believe, without sacrificing our principles, without sacrificing our faithfulness. Amen. And last week we got to a point, we talked about when the love of God dwells in you. And we saw this, when the love of God dwells in you, you do not demand human recognition. Meaning you don't find your strength through the attention that people give you. Folks, of course, we had to qualify that statement. We do and know and understand. It is right. It is biblical. We should encourage one another. We should be complimenting our spouses. We should tell our spouses every day something great about them. We should be encouraging. We should be loving. We should be complimentative, right? But we're just talking about making sure that we ourselves, in our dependence upon the Lord, are not living a life trying to just get by through the praise or the recognition or the affirmation of others. You know, if we're not careful, we will start to demand that from people. We will demand that they pay enough attention to us. We'll demand that they recognize us. We'll demand that, they make us happy, or we demand that they maintain our joy. Listen, it is unfair for you to require your spouse to maintain your joy. They can't do that. That's unjust. That is unfair. Now, also, you can't take the other side of this and try to twist this. You don't go to your spouse and say, hey, don't you ever think about, did you hear, Pastor? You can't get your attention from me. See, I don't have to treat you right. I don't have to give you attention. No. That's what we said last week. We don't preach that message to work on somebody else. We preach it to work on us, that we are making sure that we are finding our fulfillment through a relationship with the Lord, and then we bring that fulfillment into our marriage, into our raising our kids, into your relationships. Amen. Because it is unfair to ask somebody or demand that they maintain your joy. It's wrong to use somebody to heal your feelings. It is wrong to try to, gain that strength just from others. Your spouse won't be able to keep up with that. Nobody will be able to keep up with that. There's nobody that 100% understands you except the Lord. And let's just boil it down right to the truth. Nothing can fulfill you in this life except a relationship, obedience, and fulfillment through God's plan, through knowing Him. That's the only thing that is going to fulfill you. Because if you're demanding that everyone keep you happy, I'll tell you what, you're going to wear people out. You're going to frustrate people around you. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to bring frustration upon yourself because you're trying to demand something out of people that they just can't give. You're trying to fill a void with relationships with people that only a relationship with the Lord can fulfill. Are you here today? Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's where we were. And now we're going to say this again. It all comes down to this. It comes down to our motives in life. What are you after? What are you pursuing? What do you desire? Where is your relationship with the Lord? What are you truly seeking? Are you just seeking the answers to your own agenda? Are you just seeking your own plan? Or are you seeking the Lord's agenda? I don't know about you. I don't want my agenda. My agenda is toxic to my life. My plans will and can destroy my life. The scripture says that over there. Where is that? Proverbs 14, 12, it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death or destruction. You can get destroyed by pursuing your own way. Your own way can actually poison your life if you are not careful to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I don't know about you, my motives in life aren't just to make life easy. My motive in life is to be faithful. I know that I can't be affirmed by anything in this life, not my kids, not my marriage. Nothing affirms me outside of the Lord himself. And then take that fulfillment, take that satisfaction into your relationships. Amen. We got to make sure that it's God's agenda being fulfilled, because this is why it matters. Are you ready for this? This is why for the last couple of months, I have been teaching over and over about stripping away the selfishness, about what Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, or literally, blessed are those who are not arrogant. Blessed are those that don't make faith all about what they can get for themselves. Blessed are those that humble themselves and are willing to do something for God that will not bring them glory. Amen. Blessed are those that decide not to be glory hounds. Amen. Blessed are those that seek something for God's kingdom, not for themselves. Amen. The reason why is because when we've got to humble ourselves. A moment ago, many of you, if not just about all of you, said, yeah, I want the power of God in my life. Well, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we don't realize it's pride when we make, you know, our faith and our relationship with the Lord all about our own personal struggles and problems. That is called pride. That's pride. We want it to just center on us. See, we live in a society that is very self-centered. You've got to make sure to peel all that away and get down to the right motives, because this is what you and I need to know. Our agenda, our selfish motives grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve, it means to sadden him. Do you know, it saddens the Holy Spirit to see God's people seeking after their own plan. It grieves the Spirit of God when we just turn faith into what we can get for ourselves. It grieves the Spirit of God when the only thing that Christians can think about is using faith for their finances. The only thing they can do is talk about, you know, how they can get more money. You better be careful about that. Now, is God a provider? Yes, he is. But I tell you what, if you're saying that all the time and just confessing that all the time, if that's where you're putting the priority of your faith, I'm telling you, you are missing it. Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will just be added to you. If you're in God's plan, he funds his plan. All that you need will be in that plan. If you need, you know, a business, if you need finances, if you need, you know, whatever it is, it's in that plan. You don't need to seek something else over his plan and his agenda, because when we seek our own, what we're doing is we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Ghost. I believe we're living in a time right now in the body of Christ, in this day and this hour, where the Holy Ghost has become grieved, and he is correcting these things and bringing the church back to a place of humility, back to a place where we humble ourselves, back to a place where we don't just think about what we need above all else. We start actually having the desires of what the Holy Spirit desires, and that is to win the lost, that is to heal the sick, that is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, and to usher us into a personal relationship and a personal, deep relationship with the Lord. Amen. Are you here today? Say, Pastor, but I'm just in it for all the good that's going to come to me. Well, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? No, you better be in it for the faithfulness. Because we don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. If you grieve the Holy Ghost with your own selfishness, his power is not going to operate in your life. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is grieved with our agenda. The Holy Ghost is not interested in bringing you the glory that you want for yourself. The Holy Spirit is not given to fulfill your dreams. The Holy Ghost is not given to fulfill your desires. He's not here to fulfill your preferences. The Holy Ghost doesn't wake up today wondering how he can be led by you. You know, the Holy Spirit is like, man, how am I led by this person over here? No, no, no. He says you need to follow him. He doesn't follow you. You conform to him. He does not conform to you. He does not change. You change to follow him. But yet we've switched it around. We're trying to make the Holy Ghost conform to our plan. He does not. He's not interested in your plan. He does not care about your plan. Woo! See, people hear that and they think that I'm saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't care about you. No, he cares about you so much that he requires, and he will not walk with you on your plan. He's doing that out of mercy. So if you get out into a place and you realize, whoa, you've gotten out into deep water without God, you know, that hopefully that you would wake up and you'd realize that you've moved ahead without the Holy Ghost. See, Moses said this. He said, I will not go without your presence. Remember? Remember when Moses said that? He said, Lord, I will not go without your presence. I will not move. I will not do anything. Because Moses learned what a drudge life can be when you go without the presence of God. And hopefully, if you've gotten yourself out in deep waters without the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you'll wake up. Maybe you've drifted down the shore, so to speak. Have you ever been swimming in the ocean? And you're out there just having a good time, and all of a sudden you look to the shore and you're like, where is everybody? You know, where's my umbrella? Where's my family? Where's my beach towels? And then you look and they're way up the beach because you didn't realize it, that that tide or that current was just bringing you slowly away. And all of a sudden you come to yourself and you're like, well, I've got to get out of the water and walk back to where I started. I believe that the church in general, not just this church, is at a point of correction where we need to get out of the water and get corrected and walk back to the place where we started. And that is a heart to get into this and do what the word says about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you here? Don't grieve the Holy Ghost with your plan. He's not given to fulfill your dreams and your preferences and your desires. He doesn't wake up in the morning wondering how he can follow you. The Holy Ghost isn't sitting around wondering, have I obeyed Tim today? Are you here? Oh, glory to God. It all comes down to your motives and your desires. Go to John 14, and let's start here in verse 15. Here we go. I'm going to set some ground rules for us. I'm going to be reading out of John chapters 14, 15, and 16. We're going to jump through this dialogue here. Jesus is talking the whole time. It's all one dialogue through all these chapters. And what we're going to do is we're going to just pick up some verses where Jesus promises the coming of the Holy Spirit and what he will do in our lives. Here's what the scripture says the Holy Ghost will do. All right. Amen. Let's go and take a look at this. Go to John 14, 15. We'll read a few verses here. Jesus speaking, John 14, 15. He says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, there's no middle ground in that verse, right? If you love the Lord, you obey him. If you don't obey him, you don't love him. He says that, and wait, he's going to say that several times. Those are his words, not mine. People say, well, I've got a fuzzy feeling for Jesus. Trust me, I just love the tradition of Jesus. That's not loving him. No, love is found in the obedience of Christ. That means your motive has to be stripped down where you humble yourself and you say, I want to obey him at all costs. Not like, well, I go to church, I have a Christianese life. That's not what we're talking about. If you have the love for God in your heart, first and foremost, you say, I'll obey him. I don't care what it costs me, I'll obey him. I don't care how inconvenient, I'll obey him. I don't care what it means for me, I'll obey him. See, this is the defining line. But notice, we usually stop at verse 15. We don't realize he's actually saying this in conjunction to sending the Holy Ghost to us. Look at verse 16. Look what Jesus said to the original disciples. He says, and, everyone say, and. He says, because you love me and because you obey me and you've got the right heart for obedience, he says, then I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he will abide with you forever. Who is the other comforter, everybody? The Holy Spirit, right? Capital C. This is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to go off this earth. I'm leaving, but I will send someone in my place that will be equal to me, who will be able to do everything I'm able to do through you, through the church, through your life. Amen. He said, I'll give you another comforter. It wasn't a demotion to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was just as good as Jesus being on the earth with them. And he says, in this Holy Spirit, he will stay with you on earth forever. He's with you forever. Amen. He never leaves you. Meaning Jesus was going to have to depart, but the Holy Ghost would never depart. And he says, because you love me, because you keep my word, because you have a heart to obey, I will pray the Father and he will send the Holy Ghost. And now, has the Father sent the Holy Ghost? Yes, he has. 2,000 years ago on Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came to this earth. And now in verse 17, Jesus calls him even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because, everyone say because the world cannot see him. So the Holy Ghost, he's invisible to the natural eye. Neither the world does not know him, the world cannot see him, but you will know him. For he, the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and will be where, everybody? In you. So guess what? God's living in you right now. Answers are in you right now. All your affirmation is in you right now. All you need in life is in you right now. There's nobody that can provide for you like the Holy Ghost can provide for you. And Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, drop down there to verse 23. Actually, go to verse 21. Let's not skip this verse. This is important. He's still talking about sending the Holy Spirit. He says, he that has my commandments and keeps them is the one that loves me. There we go. Those that have the commandments or the word of God and obeys it, those are the one. See, if you have to wait for a fuzzy feeling before you obey Jesus, you'll be waiting forever. What if you don't have a fuzzy feeling to go to church? You know, what if tithing does not give you a fuzzy feeling? You know, what if forgiving somebody doesn't make you feel all warm inside? Are you here? Praise the Lord. No, it's not about what I feel, it's that I obey. Yeah, boy, you're all excited about this today. He says, he that loves me is he that knows my word and keeps it. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Because you obeyed the word, he sent the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is to do what? To manifest Jesus to you. It doesn't mean you need to see Jesus physically. It doesn't mean you have to have a vision of Jesus standing on a cloud or that you have to see what Jesus looks like, all right? The Holy Ghost doesn't manifest Christ to us so we can just satisfy or feed our curiosity of what Jesus looks like. The Holy Ghost is going to tell us what Jesus acts like. He's going to brand us with his character. The word manifest means to make known or to become real. The Holy Ghost, when you have a fellowship with him, he makes Christ real in your life, all right? Meaning it dominates your thoughts, it dominates your actions because you're mindful of God's presence in your life at any given time. Are you here today? Amen. He says, if you love me, if you keep my word, he said, my Father will love you. He said, and I will love you. And because you've obeyed my word and I've sent the Holy Ghost to you, he's going to manifest or make me known to you, or even better, make you known, make Jesus known through you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Drop down to verse 23. He keeps saying it. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. There we go, the third time. He said, listen, if you're wondering if you love God or not, some people will look for the feeling to try to discern. They'll say, well, listen, Jesus does not require your sentiment. He doesn't need you to get sentimental about him. He needs you to obey him. Well, that really went over well. Oh, but Pastor, I just want to feel like I love God. I want to feel it. You know, I want to, just, have that goosebump feeling that, oh, I love God. I'm so sentimental, you know. Oh, this will make people mad. No. You don't love God. You can be sentimental. You can be the one standing there. You know, you could really just be putting all that you have into it. But if you leave this building, you don't obey him. Guess what? You don't love him. I don't care how spiritual you try to make yourself be. You might be able to talk about how blessed and favored you are. You might be able to talk about how all the church lingo. Listen, I'm not into cheesy, fake church lingo. I'm into obeying Jesus. That's who loves God. Are you here? Amen. He says, you know, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode or make our home with him. God is saying, I will move into your life, and you will know who I am. You will know my direction. You'll know my voice. You'll know what to do. You'll have a fellowship with me that will direct you and lead you and guide you because you had a heart that stripped away all selfishness, that you did whatever it took to obey. And because you obeyed, the Holy Ghost moved in a greater way in your life to make Jesus known to you. Not to give you all the things you've ever dreamed of, not to make it, you know, life easy and convenient, to know Jesus. Listen, a bigger house. More money, better career, you know, things to enjoy, recreation. All that stuff is just fine. God is a good God, and he will bless you. And if you've worked honestly, God is all about seeing you succeed. But I tell you what, if those things hold any place in your heart, meaning if they hold first place in any way, he's not interested. God will not accept second place. He will not be second rate. He will not take second place. He won't be second best in your life. Amen. But when you put him first, he moves in. And the Holy Ghost starts revealing God's voice to you. And that means when you know his voice, you'll know the voice of the liar. Meaning when the devil tries to give you a thought, you'll say, that's not God. That's not what my Lord says. That's not how my Lord talks. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He said, they will have open pasture. They'll come in and come out with me. He said, they'll know. They'll follow me. They'll follow me fully. You know, but so many times I see as a pastor, Christians have things in their life that they're not obeying. They're not doing certain things for the Lord. They just think, well, it's all right. It doesn't matter. It's just for people that are really into God. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is grieved with that kind of thinking. Jesus says, I'll become real to you. Go over to chapter 15. Go to John 15. I'm just setting the stage. I'm going to tell you here in just a minute why this all matters. Look at John 15 and go to verse 26. So what are we seeing here? The Holy Ghost will make Jesus real to you. The Holy Ghost will manifest the Lord in your life. Glory to God. Because you love him. Amen. Because you obey. Go to John 15, 26. Jesus still speaking. Jesus says, but when the Comforter has come, that's talking about who, everybody? The Holy Ghost. He says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, the Holy Ghost will do what? He will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit, again, is working to testify or to make Christ known. Amen. What's the Holy Ghost talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's not here to give you the biggest party in town. Doesn't mean you can't be happy and joyous and celebrate and all that stuff. Please don't misunderstand me. But sometimes we think God the Father is stern and strict, and Jesus, well, we kind of have a picture of him in our heart and our mind, but we think that the Holy Ghost is kind of the loose party, you know, party guy. Boy, that went over well. That went over well. Oh, the Holy Ghost, he's just easygoing. He just lets anything go. Well, we got to be careful with that. The Holy Ghost is there to testify to us about Christ. So if you want to get, you know, into fellowship with the Holy Ghost, you're going to want to know, what's the Lord like? What is his ways? Show me the Lord's heart. Show me his ways. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to talk about. And then look at verse 27. He says this, and you shall also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, he was saying that to the original 12 disciples, but I believe that he wants us to bear witness as well. He says the Holy Ghost is going to come on your life, and when people see you, they're going to see Jesus. Amen. That's what I want most of all in this life. An encounter with you should be an encounter with Christ for people that don't know him. You are a witness that Jesus Christ is alive. Whether people say that to you, but your life is going to be testifying of the Lord in their hearts, in the secret of their conscience. They're going to see you, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. And they're going to realize that Jesus is real through you. Go over to chapter 16. Praise the Lord. So here we see, what does the Holy Ghost want to do? He wants to manifest Christ. What's he want to do? Testify and talk about the Lord's character and the Lord's ways. Oh, but Pastor, I'm seeking the Holy Ghost because I need a miracle. No. He is in the miracle working business, but you are never told to chase a miracle. The Holy Ghost isn't here to primarily just show you what a miracle looks like. He's here to show you what Jesus is like. He's here to brand you with the personality and character of Christ. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, he says, "You will bear witness. People will see me when they see you." And now look at John 16, 13. Jesus still speaking in this same conversation about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Spirit will" what? "Guide you into all truth." The word truth there is our English word reality. Meaning that the Holy Spirit wants to guide you and lead you into the reality that God has for your life. See, I don't want my reality. I want his reality. And notice it says this, "The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak to you, and he will" what? "Show you things to come." Do you believe that that would be an advantage? Folks, I hope this is stirring up some hunger in you. I want to know the Holy Ghost. I want to walk with the Spirit of God. I want to hear his voice and not just go to him and say, "Hey, I need a miracle today. Hey, you need to solve my problems today. Hey, you need to prosper me today." What are we after? Let's be after what the Word told us we should be after. The Holy Ghost shows me things to come. He doesn't show me everything, but he'll give you clips and snapshots into your future. He'll start to lead, you know, with pictures in your heart. You'll see yourself doing something for him down the road. You'll see where you're supposed to go. You'll understand the relationships in your life that you're supposed to have. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 14. And notice, look at the next four words that Jesus says. "And he," the Holy Spirit, "will" what? "Glorify me." The Spirit of God is not here to glorify us. He's to glorify Christ on us and in us. The Holy Ghost will want to reveal Jesus. That's what we should be after. That's what we should be seeking for. That's why it matters. And look at this. In verse 15, remember he said in verse 13 that all the things that are the Lord's, the Holy Ghost will convey. And look what Jesus says. He says, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine," meaning the Holy Spirit will take from me, "and shall show it to you." That's what I want. That's what I'm hungry for. Lord, the Holy Ghost will start to speak to you about character. He'll start speaking to you about what the Lord says, what the Lord does, the works that Jesus pursues. I'll tell you what is on the heart of the Lord is the lost. What is on the heart of the Lord is the sick. He wants to save the lost. He wants to heal the sick. And the Lord loves his church. He loves his body. Amen. And when you fellowship with the Holy Ghost, your value system becomes his value system. You start to value what he loves most of all. I'll tell you what, the modern day definition of a spirit-filled Christian has gotten skewed and corrupted. My goodness, they're supposed to be the most spirit-filled. I don't see even one salvation call. They don't even lead people to Christ. They don't teach people how to lead people to Christ. They don't make that an emphasis of their ministry. And yet they claim to be Spirit-filled. I don't believe them. I don't believe it. And I'm not saying that to judge anybody or go after anybody. But I tell you what, when you're walking with the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a heart and a desire to win the lost. There's going to be a heart and a desire to see the sick healed in the name of Jesus. There's going to be a heart's desire to see the church grow in the direction of the Lord's plan. The local church will become your heart. When I see ministries, they're moving away from the two greatest things in the center of God's heart. They're moving away from the Great Commission, and they're moving away from the local church. And when they're moving in that direction, they'll be moving there without me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you here today? Listen, I'm just telling you, we need to bestir ourselves up for the things that are sacred to the Lord most of all. Who have you led to Jesus lately? I'll tell you what, who are you taking to heaven with you? Glory to God. This matters to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Now go back to John. Go back to John chapter 14, verse 15. It all started right here. When the Lord started talking about the Holy Ghost coming and the Holy Ghost moving in our lives, he says, if you love me, obey me. Wow. Boy, should I go there? Should I go there? I'll make it very simple. You know, I've been meditating on this lately. And, you know, just, you know, considering, you know, what the scripture says about the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I started to, you know, of course, study and look at the baptism of the Spirit and, you know, and start to, you know, see and notice these things. Everyone that was filled with the Holy Ghost in the New Testament, they first displayed a willingness and a hunger to be devoted to God. They first demonstrated, like even when you go to the first family that was ever baptized in the Holy Ghost of the Gentiles, when we see Cornelius and his family, they were already hungry for more of God. When you saw the first disciples with the 120 in the upper room, they were praying for days, hungering for God. There was a desire. No, you don't have to wait a certain amount of time, but you do have to be hungry for him. You do have to have a willingness to obey God. But yet I see a lot of Christians, if we're not careful, we'll want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, for some other thing. You know, we'll seek it because, well, if I get baptized with the Holy Ghost, then I'm more likely to have a miracle. See, you're seeking it for some other reason other than him. Well, if I get baptized in the Holy Ghost, maybe that'll restore my marriage. Well, listen, the Spirit-filled life will absolutely benefit all aspects of your life, but I don't want the Holy Ghost just so he fixes something in my life. I want him because I need him to know Jesus. I must have him to know the heart of the Father. I must have him if I'm going to be in this fellowship with the Lord, where I hear his voice and walk out the plan of God in my life. The desire, the work of the Lord is to know him. Amen. And it all starts right here. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he says, and I will send. I will pray the Father and the Holy Ghost will be sent to you. Verse 15 is a verse about motives and desires. Are you here? Motives and desires. He said, if you love me. And so we're going to answer this question. Who does the Holy Ghost fill? Who does he truly empower? Who does the Holy Ghost use? He uses those that want him. Amen. I know that seems simple. Those that desire him. Those that want him more than anything else. I've said this to the men's group. I've said it more privately than I have publicly, and I'm going to say this, and this is going to be kind of shocking to some people, but just buckle your seatbelt and hold on. As a pastor, I have literally had the honor of laying my hands on hundreds of people over the years when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen people come forward who got filled in a glorious way, and you saw the fruit of it in their lives. And I'll be honest, I've seen people who came forward, had hands laid on them. They mimicked, you know, something in other tongues, but I'm here to tell you, they didn't get filled. They didn't get filled. And I'm not saying that to spread doubt over anybody, but I'll tell you what happens. We can desire the right thing for the wrong reasons. That when they'll come forward, they'll say, well, maybe if I go up there and I get filled with the Spirit, maybe I'll be more likely to get healed. As much as God is a healer, the baptism of the Spirit, you don't desire Him for that first and foremost. Oh, if I go up and get filled with the Spirit, maybe it'll make me more likely to walk in God's favor, and maybe my business will finally start to prosper or something like that. You don't get filled with the Spirit for that reason. That is not who the Holy Ghost is. That's not what He came to do. He came to reveal Jesus to you, to get you into the plan of God, to get you a heart after the things that He loves. Are you here? And if we go after the right things for the wrong reasons, we'll fail. Boy, that went over well. That went over well. Well, Pastor, I'm gonna seek to get filled with the Spirit so I'm more likely to you know, get this what I wanted, or get this what I needed, or restore this in my life, or fix this problem in my life. No, the Holy Ghost didn't come to be your fixer. You know what I mean? He didn't come to just, you know, try to solve every little issue in your life. He came to reveal Jesus to you. He came to give you a relationship. He came to reveal the heart of the Father. He came to show Jesus on your life so others will get saved. It's time to get out of the water, go back to the beach, and walk up to where you first began. Amen. Praise the Lord, because the Holy Ghost is grieved. He is grieved with our agenda if we think that, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit just makes us more prosperous. Well, it's just there to prosper me. Wrong. I'm not saying it doesn't help. Any aspect of life will be helped by a Spirit-filled life. I'm just talking about our heart motive. My heart motive. So let's just recap this. See, the Holy Ghost comes to show us the works of Christ so that we can do them. To love what He loves. The Holy Ghost comes into our life so that we have fellowship, communication with the Lord, leading so that we can worship Him in a deeper way, pray to Him in a deeper way, know Him. Are you here today? So, well, Pastor, none of this seems to fit into my plan. That's the point. Take your plan, light it on fire, burn it up, and get into God's plan and watch His Spirit start moving in your life. Start learning what it's like to rejoice when you lead someone to Christ. When you see somebody growing in the things of the Lord, when you start to hear God's voice and knowing what to do, and He starts providing answers how to raise children, He starts providing answers of where to work, what relationships are good for you and not. He'll start revealing to you how precious His local church is to you, how to lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So what does the Holy Ghost do in our life? He helps us to know the Lord. He manifests Jesus to us. He testifies of the Lord. That means He tells us the truth of what Jesus is about. He glorifies Christ in us and upon us. He guides us into the reality that God has for us. And He shows us things to come. I'll say those things real quickly again. He helps us know the Lord. He manifests Jesus to us. He testifies of the Lord, meaning He tells us the truth about who the Lord is. See, a lot of people, they need to walk with Jesus. Oh, be careful. Oh, my goodness. Be careful of all of the YouTube influencers. Are you here? I'm not saying, I mean, we post our services. You know what? It's dawned on me. It's getting harder and harder to find somebody online that you could pull up their ministry and they just teach the Bible on their YouTube channel. Almost every YouTube ministry, in quotes, almost all every YouTube ministry that we see out there, it's like they act like their existence is just to go out and to find everybody they disagree with. Listen, God has never given any Christian the ministry of exposing others. On almost everything, people are getting caught up and they love, oh, I saw this minister got exposed. oh, this minister, this mega church got exposed, and maybe some of those things are even true. Maybe there is a lot of faults out there. But I'll tell you what's even more wrong than the false doctrine that those places are promoting to begin with is someone who thinks that God has anointed them to go out and find faults and expose everybody. Oh boy. And people start getting an appetite. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil will lead you down that path where you get an appetite of exposing everything and everybody. And there will become a time he will turn that device on you. The Bible says, consider yourself. You that are spiritual, restore such a one. If a brother's in fault, restore him. Don't use YouTube to expose all these places. I'm the brand fire ministry, and we're out this, and we're the exposers of all evil and all this stuff. Oh, my goodness. They don't realize they think they're doing God a service. They're working for the devil. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Happy Flag Day, everybody. Happy Flag Day. Can I just be real honest? It is Flag Day. Do you know that? Today is Flag Day. And thank God for the red, white, and blue. I don't believe that the American flag is a symbol of hate or injustice. I believe that the American flag is a symbol of personal liberty and freedom. Amen. Thank God for everyone that has served under that flag and the men and women that gave the ultimate sacrifice for that flag. I'm grateful for it. But you know, when I was, you know, talking there just a moment ago, and I'm saying some things that are difficult to hear, and at the end of it, I kind of was looking for something to say to, like, lift, to, you know, just to add a little levity. And for some reason, the term Merry Christmas jumped into my mind. So I almost said, Merry Christmas, everybody. Because I was looking for, like, if it was a special day that I could, you know, if it was a time of year. And I realized, Merry Christmas. And then it jumped into my mind, but it is Flag Day. That's why you see the red, white, and blue up here on our platform. So if this is challenging anybody, happy Flag Day. And if I've brought you down anyhow, I don't mean to bring you down, but just remember the freedoms that you have. Amen. Praise the Lord. What does the Holy Ghost come to do in our life? To make Jesus known upon you. To make Jesus known upon you. We won't take the time to go over there, but remember when Jesus, in this very passage, in John 16, verse 8, so many people, they get confused why Jesus said this. Oh, shucks, we got to go look at it. Go over to chapter 16, verse 8. Yes, I said shucks. I know, it sounded like Dennis the Menace or something, you know. Leave it to Beaver. How many of you remember those old shows? Man, they played in reruns forever, man. I grew up on those, even though they were a little bit before my time. Praise God. Leave it to Beaver. Man, anyway, praise the Lord. Dennis the Menace. We thought Dennis the Menace was a bad kid. He's an honor student now. You know? All the things he was doing to Mr. Wilson. I mean, I don't know. I think Dennis, by today's standards, was a pretty good kid. Oh, golly, Mr. Wilson. Praise the Lord. Are you here today? Look at John 16, 8. Remember when Jesus said this? This is a lot of confusing for a lot of people. Jesus says when he has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. What will the Holy Ghost do? He will correct the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Wow. That seems pretty serious. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost was just coming to throw a party. No, he was coming to tell the world that they're lost in their sin. All right, now he's talking about in context how the Holy Ghost will make Jesus be seen upon you. And so when the Holy Ghost is on your life, people become aware of their sin in their life. They see somebody who's serving Jesus or serving this unseen Holy Spirit, and it makes them aware of their sin. How many of you know the world needs to see that? It doesn't mean you go out and tell people how bad they are or start judging them and condemning them and all that stuff. But it's talking about just when you live a faithful life to Jesus, somebody else is on trial somewhere. You're putting somebody on trial. You might be putting friends on trial. You don't even realize it. It might be family that is on trial by your obedience to Christ. It says that he will convict the world of righteousness. Meaning this, that literally people will understand. They'll see somebody who's doing things right. They'll see somebody. The Holy Ghost on you shows others what obedience and righteousness looks like. And they see that. And maybe they'll never tell you this, but on the inside, God is using your example to speak to them and to talk to them. Your faithfulness or Jesus on you is giving God an open door to speak to somebody else. And he's going to correct the world of judgment. Of judgment. This is a word that we don't want to talk about. Do you realize that judgment is coming? Judgment is coming. And the word judgment, it literally means impending doom. And this is what we don't like in our social media era. God forbid that, you know, we're ever disliked or something like that. And again, we don't do this purposely. I mean, in the sense that we don't go out and, you know, get harsh and, you know, criticizing and condemning. But the Bible says that Christ on your life speaks to somebody else about their impending doom. That they will sense judgment when they see somebody who has put down sin, somebody who has picked up righteousness, someone who's faithful and sold out to God, who's being led, and literally it will speak to them of their impending doom. Listen, our goal isn't to make people uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is it's their sin that's making them uncomfortable. And it's the goodness of God to put that judgment in their heart. Are you here? Yes. That they see Jesus on you and it reminds them that this life isn't forever. It reminds them of impending doom. And maybe, just maybe, they'll say, you know what? I need to get into church myself. I need to serve Jesus. I need to give my life to the Lord. I need to put down my ways and pick up God's ways. Listen, I tell you what, there's people depending on your faithfulness that you'll never realize this side of heaven how much your life spoke to them and put them in a warning of impending doom. It's a good thing. But I thought the Holy Ghost just came to make everyone feel comfortable all the time. No. Of course, we be kind and, you know, we're kind and loving. We're not going out personally telling everybody every rotten thing in their life. You know, we're not doing that, but just walking because you're sold out to the Lord. They will be made aware of their impending doom. The Holy Ghost came to make Jesus seen upon you. Now we're going to finish up right here. Go to Acts chapter 1, and now I'm going to show you why it all matters. Why it all matters. Everything I've told you up to this point, the purpose of it is to stir a hunger and a desire in you to want the Holy Ghost for the right reasons. For the right reasons. Listen, I've seen God perform miracles in my life. I have seen the Lord do amazing things in every aspect of my life, but I wasn't chasing the miracle. I was chasing him. I wasn't trying to, you know, get healed, like just try to, you know, force God to heal me or try to get him to, you know, do something for me. But when you fellowship with him, when your goal is just to have the right heart and the right character and the right humility, amen, the Holy Ghost will move in your life, and this is why it matters. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Here we go. This is why it matters. How many of you want more of God in your life? Amen. Don't raise your hand. Trick question incoming. How many of you raised your hand because you just thought that that was the right thing to do because the pastor said that, right? You know, it's like, well, I better lift my hand because I don't want to be seen as the one not lifting my hand. Make sure that that is truly your heart's desire. Make sure, Lord, I want you. Who is the Holy Ghost going to move on? Those that want him, those that desire him, and those that want him for the reasons that are mentioned in the word. Lord, manifest yourself to me. Lord, become more real in my life. Lord, put a heart in me that desires what you desire. Lord, give me a heart for the lost. Lord, give me a heart for the sick. Lord, give me a heart for your local church. Yes. Amen. Right. Nowhere did God ever say, I'm going to give you a heart to desire money. No, I'm going to give you a heart's desire just to make yourself succeed. Sometimes Christians, they'll want positions of authority to bring attention to themselves. You can't be in it for that. Be careful. This is why it matters. This is Jesus now. Acts 1:4. After he has been resurrected, this is the resurrected Christ. He's now with his disciples, of course, minus Judas at this point. And there's some others that are there. And it says, Jesus being assembled together with them after his resurrection. Imagine standing with the risen Lord. Imagine standing with the risen Lord. He said to them, he was assembled together with them, commanded them. Everyone say commanded. Commanded. Notice he didn't say suggested. He didn't say suggested. He says he commanded them that they should not leave from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. He said, now, disciples, he said, you've seen me die on that cross. You've seen me rise again. He said, now we're in Jerusalem. Do not leave here until the promise of the Holy Spirit shows up in your life, like I've been talking to you this whole time. Yeah. What we were just reading in John chapters 14 through 16 is exactly all the stuff that they had heard Jesus say about the Holy Ghost. He said, now that I am raised from the dead, he says, don't. You would think that the first thing that Jesus would have said to them is, hey, go out and preach everywhere. He said, but the first thing he said, make sure you receive the promise of the Father. Look at verse 5. Jesus speaking, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're what? Baptized in the Holy Ghost. This should not surprise us. Remember what John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11? He says, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes that I'm not worthy to carry. He said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So what does Jesus do for his people? He baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. And the word fire there is not a negative word. It means the power of God. Hallelujah. Notice water baptism and the baptism of the Spirit must be two different things. He said, John baptized you with water to repentance. He's like, I'm not here to baptize you in water. He says, I've commanded that water baptism be observed, but it is not what fills you with the Spirit. Water baptism is just a symbol of a new life living outside of sin. That's what it stands for. But Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Who wouldn't want something from the hands of the Lord himself? Remember, he said, I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will send the Holy Ghost in my name. Notice, Jesus and the Holy Ghost have this working relationship, right? He said, John baptized with water. He says, but I'm here, and I'm different. I don't baptize in water. I baptize with the Holy Ghost. And now look at the first thing that the disciples said. They did the same thing that we all get tempted to do. Look at what they said. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, therefore they heard about the promise of the baptism of the Spirit. They're like, wow, God's going to empower us. Let's see what we can get out of it. They asked the Lord, saying, Jesus, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They did the same thing that the modern church is doing. Lord, will you please just give us the political scenario that we're longing for? Lord, please, just, your power is coming upon us, just give us the president we want. Give us the politics that we want. Give us our preference. Give us our political party. Oh, boy, I'm making you mad. Lord, please just bless Fox News because I watch it all the time. Please just, give my side the winning advantage? Listen, it's important to pray for our elections. It's important to pray for those that serve in government. But the Holy Ghost was not given to give you your earthly preferences. God, Jesus had to correct this because he knew if his original apostles thought that the power of God was just to get their preferences, then the whole thing, the Spirit of God would be grieved and we would be in big trouble. Look at this. Verse 7, look what Jesus said to their political statement. Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know. You don't need to concern yourself with political things. Doesn't mean you shouldn't vote. Doesn't mean you don't pray for your political leaders. The Bible tells us that you should on both sides, by the way. It is not for you to know the times or season, the political seasons, the geopolitical circumstances. It's not for you to focus on that which the Father has put into his own power. He says those are things that are not your responsibility. They're not. But look at the first word of verse 8. But this is your responsibility. Jesus had to correct their focus just like he's correcting the church right now. We want the power of God to give us our preferences, and he's trying to tell us, listen, the Holy Ghost isn't given for that reason. God is looking for Christians who will let go of their preferences and pick up the true fellowship of the Holy Ghost. He says, no, not politics. No, not just about your society. He says, but you shall receive power. Everyone say power. He was looking for people that desired the Holy Ghost more than people that were looking for a political change. Listen, if you think that this nation, oh boy, here we go. You're going to really love this. If you think this nation has just some bright political future ahead, you're deceived. Oh, Pastor, you think that this nation isn't about to walk through some of the hardest times in its existence? It is. This nation is going to be shaken to its core. Do you know that? Say, oh my goodness, Pastor, you sound like you're hoping that it happens. No, I don't. But I know this, regardless of what happens in this nation, we are to follow God first. We are to follow God first. He says, no. He says, you are not to focus on that. That's God's responsibility. Let God handle the nation, so to speak, the political rulers and such. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, church, and you shall be witnesses. Everyone say witnesses. He says, you'll be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto Jamestown, New York, and Chautauqua County, because those original disciples never made it to New York State. They never made it to North America. They never made it to Jamestown and to this region, but you and I are here. He needed witnesses in Jerusalem. He needed witnesses in Judea and Samaria and all the way over here where those original disciples never made it to. Amen. He said, no. Don't try to get the Holy Spirit to do your bidding. Stop trying to get the Holy Ghost to do what you want him to do. He does not follow you. You follow him. And this is what the power of the Holy Ghost is for. This is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. It is not given just to restore your marriage or to give you a better job. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. The Holy Ghost is given to make Christ known upon you. The power of the Holy Ghost is to give you a heart's desire for the lost in the region in which you live. You're not living in Chautauqua County by accident or by coincidence. You are living here because Christ needs you to make him known. He needs you showing him in your workplace, in your families. Are you here? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we need to get out of the water, go back to the beach, and walk up to where we first began. Lord, I want your power because there's souls that are depending on it. Lord, I want people to see you on me. I want to move the kingdom of God. I want to have a heart that puts souls first and not just be a Christian who's just consumed with my own problems, consumed with my own tests and trials. Oh, praise the Lord. You need me, Lord, in the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where you are sitting right now. You're not in Jerusalem, you're not in Judea, you're not in Samaria, but you are in the uttermost part of the earth. And God needs witnesses now just as much as he needed them then. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Spirit is not given to Christians to make them kooky and weird. And people bring up the idea, they say, well, this is, you know, the experience of speaking in tongues. Yes, it includes that, 100%. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they get their experience or they get their impressions of that experience by what they see on Christian TV. They get these, you know, their impressions from these things by people that are abusing things or walking in excess. Listen, to pray in another tongue is to speak unto God in a language that he understands. It is to deepen and richen your relationship with him. It is to empower you to go out and start caring about what he cares for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's exactly. Can you bring up a verse for me? Bring up 1 Corinthians 14:2. This is just one of many that just tell us why we want this experience. Who is the Lord going to baptize with the Holy Ghost? Those that desire it. Those that want it. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. See, a lot of Christians, they have a lot of weird ideas about what speaking in tongues is. They don't realize that it's connected to this infilling of the Spirit of God. What does it do? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto people, but to God. I didn't realize that speaking to God was a bad thing. I was raised in a denomination that said speaking in tongues was of the devil. I never realized that speaking to God was of the devil. I notice this. The devil's never helped me talk to God. The devil's never helped me talk to God. But praying in other tongues sure has helped me talk to God. Because it's the language that he understands. Here, I'm going to tell you, of course, God understands all human language, but you know that he has his own language, right? He don't need English or Spanish or Chinese or any of those languages speak to men. But an unknown tongue, that's why it's called an unknown tongue, because it speaks directly to him. God understands it and the devil can't. That's a big advantage. It says, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit you're praying or speaking out mysteries. Not mysteries to God, mysteries to you and I. See, praying in tongues helps to bring those things that are mysteries into manifestation. Glory to God. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? We're going to just wrap this up right here. Why does it matter? Why does it matter that, you know, we have that humility? It matters because, you know, the Holy Ghost will only move in our lives. You know, we have to desire him and want what he wants. Can you bring this verse up in the Amplified for me? It says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to your understanding. Glory to God. Anyone in here, don't lift your hand. Trick question incoming. Does anyone in here know everything that's going to happen tomorrow? Do you know everything that's going to happen a year from now or 5 years from now? But he knows. This is the fellowship. Remember when Jesus said the Holy Ghost will what? Show you things to come? See, I was born in, you know, in an idea, and it wasn't really my parents. So they didn't, you know, promote the idea. It wasn't, you know, my family really as much. It was just maybe just, you know, some of the denominations that we had experience with growing up, you know, just believed that this was some kind of evil practice. It was some kind of weird fanaticism. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of Christian people who have given this experience a bad name. But just because someone has abused it, just because people have taken it out of bounds and tried to make it about what God didn't make it about, does not mean that the experience isn't real and doesn't exist. I want to pray out things that I don't understand. I want to have that fellowship with the Father. Notice, if you've been at this church any given time, I don't stand up here and speak in tongues at you. The Bible says it's not for the public display. Unless it would be interpreted, and of course, and that's as the Spirit wills. But how many of you know this is a great advantage in your devotion life? I want to fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Can you bring up verse 14? You're in the same chapter. Bring it up in the Amplified, just so you know and see this in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Look at this verse in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Bring up verse 14 in that same chapter. Hallelujah. Here it comes. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, this is Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle knew something about praying in tongues. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. The Holy Ghost in you is just waiting to be unlocked. He is waiting to be released in your prayer life. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive and it bears no fruit and helps nobody. See, that's why people hate it. People have a tendency of hating what they don't understand with their brain. Folks, I don't know about you, but this is a great help. I want to walk. If Jesus is the one that baptizes in the Spirit, I want it. I want it. And not only do I want it, one, you know, just, you know, I don't just want it initially. I want to walk with in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I want him to build a desire in me to win the lost. I want him to build a desire in me to fellowship with God and to know his character and know his heart. Yeah, it's wrong to take the experience of speaking in tongues and turn it into a sideshow. It can happen, and it does happen. But the body of Christ needs to get out of the water, get to the beach, and walk back to square one and start desiring what the Holy Ghost wants. He wants you born again. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to fellowship with him. He wants to manifest Christ in your life. Did you get anything out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you and glorify you. Father, you are good. It matters. It matters that we desire you for the right reasons. Father, we want the Holy Ghost to have greater place in our life. Father, we want to be in fellowship with you. We want Jesus to be manifested upon our lives. Lord, we want people to see Jesus when they see us. Father, we want to have a heart for winning souls. Father, we want to have a heart to see people come into the kingdom. Father, we want to have a heart that wants to be led by your Spirit every day of our lives. We want to know your voice. We want to strip away all selfishness and set aside our troubles, our needs, our problems. We're going to set aside our preferences and seek you for you. Balanced, biblical. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, we know that the answers are all right here in front of us. All the answers we need are already with us right now. We just need more light. We just need to walk more with you. The answers that we need will come. Everything we need will be provided. Everything will be taken care of in its own time. We can never benefit our lives by worrying for one moment, but instead, if we start thinking about those that need you, pray for the lost, pray for the sick, pray for the church. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself to me. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself to this church. Lord, we love you. We obey your word. Manifest and show yourself. Father, give a heart to these people that they desire more of the Holy Ghost, that they would desire the baptism of the Spirit. Not for superficial reasons, not for selfish reasons, but to know you. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you today. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Ask yourself that question right there in your conscience. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? I don't mean you've tried to be a good person. I don't mean you have a Christian tradition. But within your heart and in your conscience, you've believed upon him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Are you saved? I know this room is filled with people that have made Jesus their Lord and Savior, but maybe there's some here today you've never made Jesus your Lord. I'm here to tell you, hell is a real place. Jesus spoke about hell. He says it is a place where the flame is never quenched. He says it is a place where the worm never dies. But here's the good news. He said heaven is real. He says, and I will go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house. If you're here and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front, but right there in your seat, I'm just simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I will lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can talk to your Lord and Savior and confess him. Invite him into your heart so that your sins will be washed, so that God will give you eternal life. Make heaven your home. Turn from sin. If that's you, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Can you just take that step towards God and lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice? You've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Could you just lift your hand now? Is there anybody? Anybody? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? They'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord. Praise the Lord. We did have a hand. And so we're all going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray this with all your heart. Pray it out of your mouth. Don't just think it in your mind. Let's pray this all together. Everyone pray with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I don't know about you, but just hearing the word like this, it stirs me to get hungry for the Holy Ghost. And you know what I mean? Just to get that hunger and that desire. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just give God the praise and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just bless you today. We glorify you. Father, we thank you. Your angels go before us. No evil befall us, no plague upon our dwelling. Father, we praise you and glorify you. And we say it together, Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.